UAB Medcast is an ongoing medical education podcast. The UAB Division of Continuing Education designates that each episode of this enduring material is worth a maximum of 0.25 AMA PRA Category 1 credit. To collect credit, please visit uabmedicine.org/medcast and complete the episode's post-test.
Welcome to UAB Medcast, a continuing education podcast for medical professionals. Bringing knowledge to your world, here's Melanie Cole.
Extracorporeal membrane oxygenation, ECMO, is a temporary mechanical support system that replaces the function of the heart and or lungs in patients with cardiac and respiratory failure. The UAB ECMO program has been successfully treating pediatric and adult patients for over 20 years and is currently one of the busiest ECMO programs in the nation, supporting approximately 80 to 100 adult patients per year. My guest today is Dr. Keith Willey. He's a pulmonologist at UAB Medicine. Welcome to the show, Dr. Willey. So tell us about ECMO, a little bit about the evolution of it and what's going on at UAB Medicine.
Well, thank you for having me, Melanie. ECMO has been around for really decades, but has really grown in utility and albeit popularity for the last several years. We've seen the initial rise in pediatric applications, but more recently, it's been employed much more frequently in adults as well, both for cardiac as well as for respiratory reasons.
And tell us about the program at UAB Medicine for ECMO.
Right. So the Children's Hospital has a pediatric program. The adult program at UAB started around 2011, 2012, but in 2013 really increased in terms of the numbers of patients that were supported for the kinds of problems that I mentioned. And it continues, as you noted, to support approximately 80 to 100 patients per year.
So tell us about some of the clinical indications and contraindications for the institution of ECMO in adults.
Sure. I think it's fair to say that we're learning more and more about who are the most appropriate candidates and in some ways trying to push those boundaries a little bit. The more common reasons that we see, for example, for supporting respiratory patients would include ARDS or acute respiratory distress syndrome, severe pneumonia, or bridging processes. So, for example, patients who have an end-stage lung disease and would be bridged to potential lung transplantation. For cardiac support, we are seeing patients that have advanced heart failure, other mechanisms of shock, for example, like thromboembolic disease or massive pulmonary emboli. Those are just some of the examples of the patients that we see, but there are several other indications for which patients might benefit from being supported by ECMO.
What about the patient selection criteria? Explain a little bit about that.
So as you might imagine, ECMO is a relatively advanced form of supportive therapy for a failing heart or a lung. And so many of these patients are in dire need of support. And so these patients are, number one, very critically ill. Number two, they really don't have many other options for support. And so they're patients that typically have either end-stage organ disease, namely lung or heart, or they have a failing heart and lung with the potential to reverse their disease just by being supported for a period of time and allowing medicines and other interventions to have their effect.
So then what about some safeguard and tips for safe technique? Let other doctors know what you find are some of these safeguards.
Well, I think some of the things that we're doing that ECMO tends to permit that might not be possible for patients, for example, on a mechanical ventilator, are that often we can allow these patients to wake up off of sedation and be off of sedation. Many of our patients on ECMO support have the capacity to sit up and in many cases get out of bed and walk and ambulate and either restore or preserve some of that muscular function that's important in the recovery process as well. And that's not always possible for patients that are on advanced mechanical ventilator support. Often many of those patients require deeper levels of sedation and in some cases paralysis.
Compare those for a minute, if you would, Dr. Willey, the advanced ventilation versus ECMO. And why, in your opinion, do you see this switch?
Sure. I guess first off, we're talking largely about respiratory support at this point. So these are patients that have either advanced or end-stage lung disease, like severe COPD, severe cystic fibrosis, or severe interstitial lung disease. Or patients that have a more acute process, like ARDS, for example, with the potential to recovery. So, for example, we've seen several cases of severe influenza leading to ARDS and profound respiratory failure. And these patients have often benefited from ECMO support in selected situations. In comparing and contrasting the two modalities, it's typically patients that are severely affected by their lung disease that are considered for either mechanical ventilatory support or for ECMO support. So mechanical ventilatory support is certainly a fine and acceptable alternative, but the limitations sometimes include the need to maintain deeper levels of sedation. And for patients that are profoundly hypoxemic or have severe low oxygen blood levels, they often require paralysis in order to let the patient comply as best as possible with the ventilator. ECMO does have some of the same limitations at times, and because of the more invasive nature of ECMO, meaning that it requires a cannula from which blood can be taken out of the body, sent to the ECMO machine, which provides oxygen and eliminates carbon dioxide, and then returns the blood back to the body. There are some risks naturally associated with ECMO, but one of the advantages that we've seen, as I previously mentioned, is the ability to less sedate the patient and in many cases allow them to wake up and potentially participate in physical therapy and rehabilitation. And I think we've found that that's been a very helpful adjunct to recovering a patient from a critical illness.
And what about the indications for cardiac support? And you can include refractory, low cardiac output. Speak about those indications just a bit.
Sure. So I guess first off, I would certainly encourage any physician who might have questions about whether or not a patient may be a candidate for ECMO or not to certainly call us, and we can go through some contact information later. But in general, what you've said is exactly right. So low cardiac output states, advanced heart failure, post-cardiomyotomy patients, post-surgical patients with various forms of refractory shock, for example, massive thromboembolic disease patients are sometimes considered candidates as well. So there are a broad range of cardiac categories that would be considered potentially appropriate for ECMO support. And again, we see ECMO as a bridging tool. So it either bridges patients to recovery, it bridges them to more durable device therapy like a VAD or potentially to transplant. Or sometimes it's just a bridge to allow for a decision to be made. You know, is this patient going to be a candidate for a device, or does this patient have the capacity to recover function and return to some level of normalcy?
Are you seeing this even being used for sepsis?
We do see it sometimes. I think it's fair to say it's controversial, and the outcomes are always a little bit different. I think you have to be a little careful about, or at least in our experience, we've had to be a little bit careful about who we select to be candidates with sepsis. But there are some patients that sometimes benefit.
So wrap it up for us, Dr. Willey, in the last few minutes, and your best advice for other physicians about ECMO and the adult ECMO program at UAB Medicine.
Sure. I think we are learning, as many other centers are, that ECMO can be a very valuable tool in the devices that we have to help patients with advanced or end-stage lung or heart disease. And again, I think its value is largely related to being able to support patients who are very critically ill to allow them to either move to another device or transplant, or allow them to have the time to try to recover and regain their normal function. I think our program offers the ability for patients to be cared for in a truly multidisciplinary manner. So our team consists of surgeons with advanced training in cardiovascular surgery, several pulmonologists and critical care specialists. We have support with anesthesiologists, but the core of the team also consists of the nursing care in our dedicated unit. We have perfusionists, perfusion nurse specialists, physical therapists, dietitians, and a host of other ancillary personnel who are all engaged and involved in the care of these patients. And I think for us, it's been very helpful to have all of these elements engaged in supporting our patients.
And how can a community physician refer a patient to UAB Medicine?
Sure. So again, I think any patient with advanced or failing lungs or hearts, we can be contacted and would be happy to talk about whether that patient might be a suitable candidate for ECMO support. And probably the best way to reach us is through the UAB MIST line. That's 1-800-UAB-MIST or 822-6478. And again, our team would be happy to talk to any physician about the possibility of ECMO support.
Thank you so much, Dr. Willie, for being with us today. You're listening to UAB Medcast, and for more information on resources available at UAB Medicine, you can go to uabmedicine.org/physician. That's uabmedicine.org/physician. This is Melanie Cole. Thanks so much for listening.